Now, I want to take a short reading from the Word of God, and it will all be from the Epistle to the Galatians and chapter 6, the final chapter of the Epistle to the Galatians. And I know it has been a busy day for many, and I'll say what I want to say as quickly as possible. You'll certainly be able to get home long before 11. So Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now that's all that I want to read. And what I want to try and speak a little bit about for just these few minutes is some of the Bible pictures of life. I can see there is quite a representation of life before me in this meeting, and I've listened to your lively singing, and each one of you has the stewardship of a precious life, and life goes through quickly. Doesn't seem so long since I was in my teens and coming to conferences and so on. Life glides through, and when you're looking back on life, the picture changes, and sometimes you wish that someone had showed you the real picture when you were younger, so that your perspective on life would have been properly adjusted. We have four pictures in this passage of the Bible. I want to think about a soldier and his burden. Then we'll speak about a sower and his basket. Thirdly, I'd say something about a surveyor and his boundary. And fourthly, something about a slave and his brand mark. Now, there's one of those pictures that I want to emphasize a little more than the others, but a soldier and his burden. The apostle says here, bear ye one another's burden. There are burdens in life that we can share. There are people, and we can help them to carry their burden, and we can give them our shoulder to support and to strengthen. Bear ye one another's burdens. But then he said, everyone shall bear his own burden. Now that word burden is a word that was used by the old Greeks for a soldier going out on the expedition, and he had his pack on his back. And as he went upon his expedition, he brought with him what he needed for the battle. And he carried his own pack. Now, it's an important thing in life to remember that as far as God is concerned, and as far as the judgment seat of Christ is concerned, every one of us bears his own burden. Sometimes we blame our mistakes on other people. If it hadn't been for her, if it hadn't been for him, he made me do it. You did it. You can't get through life. It's a very artificial view of life to think that you can constantly go through life shelving things to other people. To be sure, there are burdens that can be shared, but blame can't be shelved. The old blame game is as old as Genesis chapter 3. And I would say to every one of us here, you take a serious view of your life. You carry your pack. You are responsible for your actions, and you will answer to the Lord for what you have done. And every person shall bear his own burden. The soldier and his burden. That's the picture that tells us something about life's personal responsibility. I meet so many younger folks, and it's always the tale that they tell me. Well, you know, it was my company. It was my environment. It was just the way it happened, or it just happened. And our lives are full of excuses, and we can rationalize almost anything. It will not do. You meet your own Lord. You stand on your own feet. You answer for your own life. And in the language of our picture, you carry your own burden. The soldier and his burden. I'll come back to the sower and his basket. But there is a third picture in this passage. And the Apostle Paul speaks about the surveyor and his boundary. He takes a look at the landscape of life, and he sees himself to be a man that is fenced off. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. And he said, the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. And then he adds, he said, as many as walk according to this rule. And that's the idea. The rule in the passage is the kind of a rule that a surveyor would lay down just to map out a plan. You know, we all have to map out the plans of life. We all have to establish our boundaries. We all have to say, yes, I'm going to go that far. But beyond that line, I will not go. There have to be boundaries in courtship. There have to be boundaries in friendship. There have to be boundaries in leisure time. And we have to map out our boundaries. You're the surveyor of your life. The landscape of your life will take shape from the plans that you make. But you say, how do I know what line to use? What will be my fence? What will be my boundary? What will be the line that will mark out the area that I want? Well, said the Apostle Paul, it's Christ and his cross. He said, by the cross, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And he said, according to this rule, he said, that's the way I map out my life. And he said, well, I want to know, do I include this part in my life? Or do I exclude it? He said, I ask a very simple question. Is this or that consistent with a cross? And when I make the cross the boundary line of my activities and the boundary line of my association, that will help me to arrange the landscape of life. In fact, it's an interesting thing that the ancient Greeks, they used the word that the Bible translates as crucify. That was the verb that they used for putting up a fence. And it could mean to fence off. And we could translate, if we had no other considerations, we could translate this verse, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is fenced off to me, and I am fenced off to the world. There was a great big world, and the Apostle Paul says, between me and that great big world, there stands the cross like a barrier and a boundary. And he said, I use that line, that rule, that boundary. He said, I use that to map out the landscape of my life. The surveyor and his boundary. And the last picture that we mentioned in the chapter was the slave and his brand mark. He said in verse number 17, I bear in my body the marks, or the brand marks, of the Lord Jesus. In those ancient times, a slave owner put a mark upon a slave. He often branded a mark on his hand, or tattooed a mark on his forehead. And everybody that met a slave or saw a slave out working in the street or working in the field, when they saw the slave and his brand mark, they knew immediately he belongs to that master. Paul says, my life, the way that I behave, everybody that looks at my behavior knows exactly where I belong. For he says, my life bears the brand marks of my master. Does your life bear the brand marks? Where will you go after this meeting and you get the refreshment? Will you be found anywhere this Saturday night or any Saturday night? And if anybody saw you there, they would never even suspect that you belong to the Lord Jesus. He said, that's what marks my life. He said, I carry my burden. He said, I watch my boundaries. And he said, I wear the brand mark of a master who has bought me as his very own. And I'm his slave. Life's responsibilities, life's restrictions, life's relationship, branded for one master. But this second picture. The sower and his basket. There was a preacher, I'm told, he served the Lord in North America, and he's supposed to have said on quite a number of occasions, a very impressive speaker, that he reckoned that Galatians 6 and verse 7 was the most solemn verse in the whole Bible. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What he sows, that he reaps. We can't avoid it. It's the law of harvest. We are all sowers. And I want us to think about the options in sowing in life. Now, think with me, and I'll be quick now, to get through, for I appreciate your attention. I want to think about the soil. I want you to think about the seed. We'll say something about the sheaves, and I'll say something about the season. A sower needs to have soil. A sower needs to have seed. A sower anticipates the day when he'll be bringing in the sheaves of harvest, and he has to wait upon the right season. And all of those things are mentioned in this particular passage. Now, there, in the sowing of your life, there are two possible fields. You can sow into the field of the flesh, or you can sow into the field of the Spirit. Now, those are the only two possible soil. There's the large field of the flesh. What is selfish? What is sensual? What is just belonging to this world? The big field of the flesh. That's field number one. The other alternative is the large field of the Holy Spirit. Now it says that in the text. Sow to the flesh, or sow to the the Spirit. So I need to get it clear in my mind. It really helps a person in life when he remembers that I'm sowing into either that field or this field. That's the soil. The flesh and all that that means. Or the Spirit. What about the seed? Now this is not the gospel. Mr. Bentley was speaking in the meeting there about sowing the seed of the gospel and where we sow and when we sow. And he made a number of helpful remarks along that line on sowing the seed of the gospel, etc., etc. That's not the point here. Every one of us in this hall tonight has seed. And the seed that I have, I can put that seed into the field of the flesh. Or I can take my seed and I can put it into the field of the Spirit. I'll come back to that. You say, but is there anything would help me to decide which field to put it in? Well, there's one thing. Each one of these two fields has a different harvest. If you put your seed into the field of the flesh, the Bible says, what comes out of that field is rotten. It's corruption. It's useless. It's decay. It's waste. It's disappointing. The field of the flesh, the sheaves that it produces, are sheaves of corruption. But he says, do you see this other field? He says the sheaves that come out of it are eternal life. He says this field produces just what is useless and wasteful and rotten. And he said this field produces sheaves of eternal life and something that lasts and something that is good and solid and enjoyable and productive and substantial and eternal. Oh, well, you say I would rather have this harvest. I don't want my life to end up just a whole big heap of ruin. I want my life to have a harvest that will count. Well, you see, now's the time to decide. The kind of harvest that you're going to get, you have to decide that at the sowing time. It's no use waiting now. It's no use waiting until next summer and say, oh, I didn't expect that harvest. No, now the sowing time. Look ahead. Tell me this, some of you people. What harvest do you want in your life 20 years from now? Just you think about that. Because there'll be a harvest. No question about it. Your life will produce something. We are all sowers. We can't get out of it. Your life will produce just a big heap of corruption, disappointment. Nothing. Or it will produce a field of precious grain that will last forever and be for the glory of God. Which would you like? Well, you say, I want to sow into the good field, the field of the Spirit, not the field of the flesh. That's right. Now's the time to decide. It's too late 25 years from now. When it comes round to harvest time, it's too late for the farmer to say, oh, I didn't want this harvest. You say to him, tell me, sir, what kind of seed did you sow? You decide at the time of sowing what the harvest is going to be. And that's why the sowing is so important. Now, what seed have you got? Well, let me mention to you some of your seeds. What about your time? That's very precious seed, isn't it? As I look across quite a number here in these different sections of the hall, younger people, I would appeal to you, though. I know that life, well, it's quite a thing when you're just at your stage. And I'm certainly not old, but I'm looking back upon a little bit of it. And one of the things that you'll discover is very important in life is time. If you put your seed of time into the field of the flesh, If you take the seed of time and put it into the field of the Spirit, much time do you spend surfing the net? How much time do you spend visiting doubtful websites? You're sowing. You see, when you go into your bedroom and you log on and you sit for 4, 5, 6 hours, you're taking precious time on that seed. Every minute in that hour, each one of those hours, is a grain of seed. And every one of those 60 grains over 5 hours are 300 grains of time that are put into maybe the field of the flesh. Much time do you spend studying your Bible? Spend 5 hours surfing the net, just cruising aimlessly through cyberspace. And when the 5 hours are over, what do you have to show for it? Nothing. Because the Bible says put it into the field of the flesh and you get corruption. Spend 5 hours studying your Bible. What do you have to show for it? You'll have something solid and something good that will be a blessing to your own soul and a blessing to others, because put 5 hours into the field of the Holy Spirit and it produces what is everlasting. Your time. What about your body? That's another piece of precious seed. You can sow your body into the field of the flesh. You see, if you do, and if I do, if I take my body and bury it in the field of the flesh and gratify my lusts, there'll be a harvest. That'll be a good harvest. Corruption. If I take my body and bury it totally in the things of the Holy Spirit, there will be a harvest. And it will be a harvest that will be positive and productive. Forever. The seed of your time, the seed of your body. What about your energy? What about your mind? What about your money? We have all precious seed. Everybody here tonight, and I don't want to labour the point anymore, but remember this, there'll be a harvest. Oh, you say, I'm just going to soak. I can't be bothered with all this stuff. I just have a fling at life. The seed of your life, your mind, your time, your energy, your body, your hands, your eyes, your soul, your personality, that precious seed that is just yourself, I appeal to you all tonight, it's too precious just to fling out. You say, listen, myself, I'm going to put it into the field of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put my energies into that side of life. Because I want a harvest that will be for the glory of God. I don't want to put it into that other field and find that everything is just wasted. That's why the Apostle Paul says, as ye have opportunity, he says, there's a time for sowing. And as ye have opportunity, he said, do good. For we shall reap in due season if we faint not. You see, one of the difficulties, and with this I think I'll stop. One of the problems with this whole seed and harvest thing is this. People say, but I don't know, this whole business about taking life seriously and being good and living in the fear of God and studying your Bible and keeping yourself right and so on. This whole talk about life, it doesn't seem to get anywhere very fast. The people that really get the thrill of life are the people that go at it with a gusto and forget about it and have a fling. You see, we live in a world that wants quick results. And I could tell you many dear people from Ireland, younger people, and they sacrifice the usefulness of their life on the altar of instant gratification. The gratification of the moment. The satisfaction of this relationship and let it go. But they didn't take the long-term view. You see, between the sowing and the harvest, generally speaking, there's quite a while. We are in a hey presto world where everything just has to happen. But in God's word, you sow now. And it might take years before the crop comes. What you sow in your... I remember a man coming to Belfast one time, and he had a... Really, he had a massive knowledge of the Bible. And we were very young. Some of the boys were young. And we listened to this man at the Belfast Easter Conference, and he just pulled in armfuls of the Bible everywhere. Not a note or anything. Quite an aged gentleman. Just pulled it in armfuls effortlessly. And some of the boys were asking him, naming him by name, "Mr. So-and-so, how do you do that?" Well, he said, "I'll tell you, boys." He said, he used a different picture. He said, I banked the credits when I was young. And he says, I'm drawing the dividends now that I'm older. I appeal to you all tonight. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. It will come. But you make the choice. You have the seed. The seed of your body, the seed of your mind, the seed of your soul, the seed of your energy. You have the seed. But you have something more than the seed. You have the choice. Do I put it into the field of the flesh? Do I put myself into the field of the spirit? And don't be disappointed. Don't be looking for quick results. You invest for eternity. And put your seed where it will grow well and will bear sheaves that will be for the glory of God. Just let me tell you something before we give thanks for the refreshments about the word opportunity. You know, opportunity is one of the great words in life. When we were children, when I was at school and we were doing our Latin lessons, they used to tell us about English words that came from a Latin background. And this word opportunity was one of them. And you'll be able to see this even from the English word. Up port. It's the old sailing ships. And to get into the port, the old sailing ship had to get up his sails when the wind was blowing in that direction. If he waited until the wind died down, he couldn't get into the port. But when the wind was blowing towards the port, he got up the sails. And that's where we get our word, opportunity. Dear young people here tonight, let me tell you, I can see that into the life of some of you, the wind of God's favor is blowing. I'll tell you, put up the sails. Set your sails for God, and set your sails for the assembly, and set your sails for Christ, and catch the wind, and head for the port of spirituality, because if you miss the opportunity, you could just be carried offshore and lost on the stormy sea of life. That's it. Thanks for your attention. I was getting afraid. When I heard all the noise you were making and jumping around there, I thought I would never be able to get you settled down just to listen. But you'll not forget about the soldier and his burden, the sower and his basket, the surveyor and his boundary, and the slave and his brand mark. This is life. May the Lord help us to appreciate it. I'm not sure, Kyle, is that Tim Noone? Is that?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we'll just give thanks, and then I want you to sing for me, just keeping your seats, one verse of 114, but we'll pray briefly first.